To sync this podcast to the episode, pause now and hit play right after the previously on. Hey everyone, welcome to the Outlander podcast. I'm executive producer Matt Roberts, and I'm here this week with...
Shayna Fuel. I'm a writer and producer.
Writer of this episode, of this episode.
Yeah. Blood of my blood.
Yeah, actually, this is one of those episodes that if Tony was here, she'd be talking about how I changed the title, but this particular one, I didn't.
Yeah, there were some things thrown out, but you fought for this one from the beginning to the end. You're okay with it.
I really did like this title. Well, it speaks to a lot of what happens in the episode, and I think that's always what I'm looking for, but then doesn't totally give it away, and I think that's what's... That's always what works well in a title. This was, if I remember correctly, you covered this episode as well Scotland.
Yeah, it was the dead of winter.
January,
February.
Every episode, every block, we send a writer over to cover the episode, meaning they work with the... the producer there and the director, so written by Shayna Fuel right there.
And look, we have the snake in the privy.
And our director, Denise DeNomi. So they work together in the prep and as we film. So Shayna actually wrote the episode, but she covered the whole block. So we're looking for a lot of insights from the production. So
yeah, hopefully I can tell you more than going through about a foot of mud in every location, which was, you get really used to it by the end, and I really enjoyed it.
It seems to be an initiation for everybody who works on Outlander.
Absolutely, how much mud you have caked on your boots when you come home.
No, I think in the script we flipped this, right? Then this was different when people can go to the websites and look at the script. They'll notice that this has been flipped.
Yeah, it used to open on Claire at the river, which we'll see soon. And
I think we used that shot in the main titles now.
We did, and that's one of my favorite moments from being in Scotland. That's one of those moments where when I first turned in the draft and everyone sort of snickered, I'm like, what's so funny? And it really came down to, well, you're writing sunshine in a script that you're going to be shooting in Scotland.
Yeah.
And
because we have a saying, and you know, we don't write weather. It just whatever's happening on the day is what you get. And
on the day, we were getting ready to try to fake a sun and figure it out. And then out of nowhere, the sun came out. This is the shot right here. Oh, I get chills thinking about it. It all came together so beautifully. The sun came out and Allie, the DP, just ran over and we were all running to get the shot before the sun comes. Because when the sun comes, it's a short little visit.
Yeah.
But it stayed with us for most of the scene. Just... exploring that sun in North Carolina, which you can't really get in Scotland, was so nice, I thought, to open the episode and explore, okay, they're in this new world now. It's no longer the rainy Scotland, which it somehow, you know, is a kismet moment.
Yeah. Well, when it all works, it you know, thankfully it works. It makes movie magic, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody was looking at the camera, sort of having a moment when that shot came up. And seeing these two together too, this was one of the first scenes that they worked together again after quite a while.
Yeah, we had seen the kind of return last mm-hmm. episode, but it was kind of short and sweet, and now here's a moment. Now this is one of those moments where for me I pictured it a different way in the script, as we always deal with that, you know, because we with the books, you know, people imagine scenes that they've imagined for years in the books, and then they see it. Well, from your script, I've imagined this differently. I thought they would be closer to the water. I mean, I know you guys had a million different things to contend with.
He was meant to be sort of hiding over a hillside, and ultimately we learned there were some plants there that you couldn't walk through. We couldn't have our crew walk through because that would spread a plant that was really bad for the environment. And so you sort of have to make shift on the moment.
Yeah.
And those leeches were so disgusting.
Yes. And I think that's one of the the things that, you know, when that, you know, Diana never contends with anything like that. She just writes the scene and there it is. It's all encompassed right there on the page. And for us, we may want to do that. And then we have to contend with, oh, well, you can't film here because it's a sanctuary for geese, or hey, you can't do this because you're going to spread this this, right, this environmental wild concern. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we love, of course, anything when we bring David Barry back, who plays Lord John. The chemistry between Lord John and Jamie is so amazing. But it's also, he has great chemistry with Claire, and it's not necessarily positive all the time. You know, sometimes right. it's like when you take a battery and you, or a magnet, and the magnet connects with metal, but then you flip it and it pushes away. I think that's kind of the connection that he has with Claire. There's
that's
kind of a love
hate. Perfect way to put it, because basically they both connect to Jamie, so they have to be other parts of the magnet.
Yeah.
And but yet there's still some connection because they're both so attracted to Jamie and yeah. have this true connection there.
That kind of undying love for him. And you know, this is just me personally. I think that John Gray is, you know, all those people that want to love Jamie, but they mm-hmm. can't.
Absolutely.
You know, that they can be next to him, they can watch him, they can do all the things, but they can't physically touch him. They can't be. So the John Gray character is for me and the audience that thinks like this, is that's their conduit, but they still can't touch them. They still can't, but they
right.
can love
it's unrequited them. Love. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. It was really cool seeing Sam work with Oliver too. They really had an interesting chemistry in itself, because you have this little kid coming in and that history of knowing he had this son and not seen him for a while, and sort of the expressions on his face. And Denise was an amazing director.
Yes.
She really talked him through what it's like to have a kid and what that looks like and
yeah.
feels
and,
like.
And even before when Sam was working with Clark, who was the previous mm-hmm. Willie, is... Oh, sorry. You probably heard me uncork. we are drinking Macallan Fine Oak 10-year scotch. In honor,
don't good forget about me.
Oh
don't
wait, about sorry. Me. All right, hold on. There we go. All right. So in
point.
Honor of, well, you'll see what's coming up is that so we needed a good Scottish scotch. yeah, but you know, Sam works really well with all the kids. So that the child actors that we have. He always builds really good chemistry throughout the seasons, and I think it's a gift. You know, you either have it or you don't.
Yeah, people have sort of a natural, especially when you don't have kids of your own. I think it feels different when you, with the fact that he was able to sort of embody that was
yeah.
really cool to see.
I bet Sam's probably the cool uncle, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody would like to have Sam as an uncle.
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam.
Oh,
there
wow.
you go.
We'll have to delete that from the podcast.
No, this was a fun one to shoot. Obviously, whenever you're doing a dinner scene and you've got so many different people and so many different reactions and the history between them and the heated conversation, there was a lot of coverage of this scene.
Yeah, and dinner scenes, believe it or not, they look easy, but because you have to cover every moment, they take forever, you know, they do. And the more people you add, you know, I think we did one in season 2 with 16 people at a dinner table. And I'm sure that was Tony Graffia's, because that's the way she
yeah.
likes to add more people to him. But even in something as what you would see as simple as this, this easily took all day and probably trickled into another day. It was that kind of thing.
It really did. And I mean, just the simple things, like maybe even Murtaugh doesn't have a lot of lines, but his reactions to each of these things are so important to the scene itself that everything gets covered. Everybody got to say these lines a lot.
Yes. And then there's eating.
Yeah.
I mean, add eating to anything is...
Mm-hmm. And this was one of the first scenes that we shot with young Willie. And so it actually was a really great day for him to warm up and get used to the other cast. And
right.
of course, they were very welcoming, and he found himself at home. But I think he was ready to leave when we were done shooting this.
I bet after that. And, you know, there are rules that govern child actors, so you can only work them a certain amount of time. So you have to find creative ways of filming. So you might have to point the camera at Murtaugh and do his lines, and Oliver had to step off set because he couldn't be there, you know.
That's right. We definitely shot out Willie first, but there was some warm-up so that he had a chance to warm up before he was thrown into his close-up.
Right.
It worked out really well.
Yeah. And when we say shoot out, no harm was done to the child actor. What we mean is we film their scenes first and then they leave. So,
right.
It's funny, you know, because of Murtaugh, you know, in the books, Murtaugh is no longer with us. And I love this scene, because of the passive aggressiveness, the way things are. It's just that, and by the way, Duncan and David are so good in that little, see how pleasant they are with each other, but they just, you know, they hate each other.
They play well. And then you've got Claire and Jamie on each side of the
nicest guys of all time.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then you got Claire.
Claire and Jamie are at opposite ends of the table watching all of this sort of. For the first time, Jamie's, you know, not on the same side as his godfather. So it's really a hairy situation.
Now, there are probably book readers that are wondering why we didn't do the big...
Snake in the Privy moment?
Snake in the Privy moment.
We definitely gave it the real try.
Well, we built as you saw in the title card, there was a privy, and that was our nod to it. There was a snake in the privy. But we built the privy, and we could not figure out how to get a full, you know, grown child there. Not a full-grown child, but a child. Into the hole.
To fall down into the hole.
We were like, the hole would have to be so big. We couldn't make it work. So, oddly enough, we do try these things. And
and it reads so well in the book, but when it comes to practicality.
It doesn't quite work out.
This is one of my favorite moments. This scene is sort of a last-minute add-on where we wanted to just sort of see the two of them together alone before they were on this journey. And I love this. His answer here is a line Matt talks about a lot. He says,
"And we have a thing in the writer's room. I don't believe in. I don't know is kind of what we say here in the writer's room. For me, is I think everybody always knows. They just don't want to actually say it. They don't want to hurt the person." They don't want to hurt themselves. There's, you know, sometimes saying something out loud might actually physically, you know, do harm to you in your emotions. But you also, most of the time, you say, I don't know, because you don't want to hurt the other person.
Absolutely.
And I think he knew why, but he just didn't want to say. And we've been talking about that. And most people know that we are, we've already been picked up for season 5 and season 6. So, And Shayna is also going to be writing on season 5 with us. She's now supervising producer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been breaking stories for season 5. And that's one of the things that I don't know. And those of you who will be watching season 5, that will come up. I'll leave you with that. So,
this is one of my favorite moments between the two of them. It's just that there's a lot of scenes with Claire and John Gray, and they tend to be pretty small, intimate scenes. And so to sort of show the way that their relationship is going to grow over this episode, this scene really sets it up well because it's spicy. The two of them together, you want to watch them.
You know, that's one of the big things that we do when we break these stories is we look at putting characters together and going, what are going to be the most dynamic scenes? where there's enough pressure put on the characters, where you see their character come out. And when you put Claire and John Grey together, you know it's going to be good. When you put Jamie and John Grey together, you know it's going to be good. You know, you just know that there's going to be this underlying, you know, whether it's angst or jealousy or, you know, what do you have that I don't, you know, that kind of thing. Envy. You know, I think John Grey envies Claire. It is envy. We've had this discussion. He's never had Jamie, so he has to be envious. If he had Jamie, he could be jealous. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, and the way that he's such a gentleman, so he contains it, and he has to hold so much in. One of my favorite things about the two of them together is he's a man out of his time. He's in a time that people don't accept what he is, and so they have this connection that outside of Jamie as well. And so there's just so many different layers to how they connect. This scene, it was funny. This was something that we had to work around all these different schedules to shoot everything. So we took this lean-to out of the woods, out of Fraser's Ridge, and put it into a barn.
Oh, right. You guys were at Falklands near, when you shot Inverness. This, right?
Yeah, this was out by Falkland.
Yeah, so we were doing an Inverness scene, I believe.
Yeah. We were shooting Roger for 405 on the same day as this.
Right. Right.
And it was a really wonderful couple that owned this farm, and they let us use their barn. And we set up shop in there. And
That's right. And this was the ice box, right?
It was the ice box. Yes.
Which, by the way,
infamous ice box.
Which is most of Scotland in the winter. So it's not like even our stages, when we're filming on our stages, you walk in and sometimes I'll leave my office and grab my heavy coat. And my assistant Danny will be, oh, you're going to the stages? Because, you know, that's where you're going. Because it's so cold in there.
Yeah, I got warned the first day I showed up. They're like, you're not going to the stages without a coat. Yes. You're going to need layers.
Yeah. It's not Southern California. You know, it's not Southern California. Yeah, I like that they've given up their place to stay in the lean-to, right?
Yeah, they want Lord John Grey and Lord William Ransom to sleep in the feather bed.
That's also known as Willie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's also her way of having some private time with Jamie.
Yeah, we try to look for, you know, as we go through the seasons, you know, each episode, we try to find moments that Jamie and Claire can have an alone time. We try at least once. Certainly when we go to script, that's one of the big... we don't have rules here when we write scripts, but, you know, one of the things we say when we send everybody out is, hey, look for those moments. We say, look for a moment with Jamie and Claire. Look for a moment that you can find it within your 55, 60 pages, you know, to put that in there.
And that was definitely, it's the kind of thing where I have to imagine if I had a child and then they remembered me after all this time, the first person I would want to tell is my significant other. Sure. Just sort of... You can be vulnerable with them in a way you can't be with anyone else. And so that was a nice way to express what's happening for Jamie inside, because he's not going to show Willie right now. He can't.
Yeah, and it definitely is... it's got to be painful for... That's why John Grey early on said, hey, I just want to... You know, I had a check with you.
Yeah.
You know, I left him by the river because I wanted to check in case you said, no way, which... Of course, he didn't think he would, but because he knew it would be kind of painful. But John Grey is also in that place where, you know, he really wants to see Jamie.
Right. You know? Especially after Isabel's death. This was fun.
This was one of those moments I know we talked about a lot in script, is we needed Jamie to be just revealing enough that Murtaugh could see through him. And I think Sam does a wonderful job here in just prior to this moment, he gave it up. You know what I mean? It's almost like he wanted Murtaugh to know, but he didn't want to tell him. And that's a tough thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
Duncan and Sam play really well off each other. They're you know, over the course of the years of being on Outlander, they've created a relationship and a bond, and you really feel it on I think you feel it on camera.
Definitely, and we'd shot the reunion scene for 405, and that was such a happy, beautiful scene, and it was such a powerful moment, and to sort of see them here where they're starting to be at odds.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really lean into it nicely.
I love the reunion moment. Oh. And the moment with Claire as well. I remember seeing the dailies of the moment with Claire, and I almost lost my mind because there was a barn out in the background. I was like, why didn't you guys move the camera 5 feet, you know? Oh. And everybody called and checked, and we were going to take it out, you know, via visual effects and stuff like that. But it was one of those moments where I lost, the first time I saw it, I was fixated on something practical. I was more producer Matt than I was, you know, writer Matt. And, mm-hmm. and sometimes that you got to change hats so many. But the moment plays so beautifully. I love that moment. Oh. Look at these two guys playing chess. You know, think, wow, how... when you pitch it in the room, it's like, these are the most boring scenes in the world. But you know what? They're not. You know, when we pitch them, we know they're going to be dynamic. We know that the actors are going to bring so much to the scene that we actually kind of pitch them too much, you know?
Well, especially with these two. Yeah. I mean, you put them around a chess table and that's sort of... It defines their relationship. It's how it started. It means so much too. You know, I know when Denise was setting out to shoot this, she really wanted to pay homage to their first time at Ardsmuir, and sort of playing chess and how their relationship built. This is a very comfortable place for these two to be. And so it's nice to sort of see them return to that, but in this new world.
Yeah. Yeah, and to create a bond while you're, you know, warden prisoner.
Yeah.
And you create a friendship that carries over throughout years, you know, 15-something years. I know it's been such a... And what a compliment he plays right there. You know, that's when you say, hey, let's have John Gray and Jamie playing chess, it means so much more. Because mm-hmm. you know, once it's on camera, you know it's going to just sing, and it does.
That's interesting. When you see that shot of Willie, I remember first watching it going, wait, is it blurry? But it's the old windows. Yeah. They were never perfectly clear. They're sort of beveled and had these.
Once again, you know, Gary Steele and his team, when they do things, you know, when they design things, when the set dressers come in and they put things in, it's always period. You know, if you went into any drawer in one of those cabinets, there would be something in there just in case the actor needed to go in and look for something during a scene because they felt motivated to do that. And and I really, the attention to detail has always been above and beyond with our art department and our costume department. You know, you look at the embroidery and
the details,
the fur, I mean, the faux fur, I should say, but it looks, you know, amazing. The leather straps, it's just unreal how much detail.
That coat that John Gray's wearing, I think everyone was jealous of it. Everyone, when you'd be out there in the cold and he was wearing this incredible coat that just sort of spoke for itself.
We did a kind of a behind the scenes scene. You know, we do these extra scenes every now and then, and I was working on it with David, and he looks great in both in the coat, without the coat. So I said to him, you know, what do you want to wear? And he's like, any chance to wear this coat? And he puts it on, and he bucks it. I'm like, all right, you look great. So,
In this moment, actually, there was a lot of conversation about, does he have his coat on? Does he have his coat off? Is he going to be too hot? Because a lot of the way we light these sets were these giant fires.
Yes.
And he's sitting right next to one of those giant fires.
Yeah. So it was it works even if he was hot, because he's supposed to have a fever.
Exactly.
So what the hell?
Yeah.
Right? Be method for a minute.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this was a fun one. This is one of those days you go to work and you wonder how this is going to go down, because there's a lot of physical things happening here. And Jamie's got to force this
Oh, right. This is the...
Yeah.
And once again, these are those moments where you go, you know, Sam is so... that was my favorite part. Yeah. When he grabs him by the collar and he's kind of nonchalant. He's just like, you know... Almost like he's grabbing a small dog or something. You know, he's just pulling, but the way he did it was... It was great.
Yeah, right there. He doesn't even see. He just feels him. Don't even try it.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what's going on.
I think the moment was because Sam kind of looked away and it was almost like, you're exactly the way I remember you.
Yeah.
You know, back when the stables, because Willie back in the day was a little, you know, I'll say... an S-H-I-T, you know, or a pill, you know, for those of you who, and the way Sam handled that Willie is kind of the same way he's handling this one.
Exactly. And it's one of those things, too, where you look and you see this kid who's got this fighting spirit in him, and he's going to recognize a little bit of himself there. He knows.
Exactly.
It's partially his fault. He's got to deal with it.
He's stubborn. Exactly. Stubborn Willie has got to be from a Frasier blood, right?
That was something interesting. This is the first time I've ever had to work with horses, and they definitely bring their own magic to the scene. They're going to stop and go as they please, and it brings a certain level of, you know, spontaneity to the scenes.
I like that Jamie brings them to a to the spot. You know, we discuss this a lot, is this moment where, you know, Jamie's looking, or the boy's looking at the view, and Jamie's looking at, you know, his son. And once again, he still can't say,
yeah,
you're my son, you know. And I know you guys had a lot of conversations about how to block these scenes. Because you got, you know, a guy in a bed.
Yeah.
And a woman, you know, standing over him, caring for him for multiple scenes.
Three really big and different scenes. So we talked a lot about... You know, you don't want to manipulate just to make it interesting visually. You've got to make sure that it's motivated.
Yeah.
And so it was about his clothing, his makeup, where she is, how long she's been nursing, the measles and the slow progression of that and how that happened.
Well, I mean, the, you know, we could talk a little bit about this. You know, it's not just, you know, when we prep each episode for about 5 to 6 weeks. And some of the conversations that endless conversations sometimes, and I know we talked about this probably for 5 weeks, about what his measles look like on day one, what his measles look like on, you know, hour two, and the progressions, and we look at pictures, and we go through this, and it's and it's really what we want it to look like. And then it's, how does it play on camera? So there's that step too. And you know, the glamour of Hollywood when you're in your ninth measle meeting.
And you know, it's interesting, though, because you go through all those meetings and you get to a point where you're like, okay, I think we've talked it through. We know what we're doing. Everybody just, can we shoot this thing? And then to watch these two actors perform, this scene in particular was probably one of my favorite moments. They just, when you get to see them sort of bring it to life, and also just the choices they make and the everything they put into it, it can be so powerful, and it makes it feel brand new again. When you've read this stuff 100 times, and when you've been in a million
meetings,
makes
it feel like it's worth it.
It's absolutely worth it. And this was definitely one of those days.
And it's funny, you know, 90% of these meetings, you know, well, actually about 99% of these meetings, the actors are unaware that we're even having these conversations.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the... What we want to do as writers and producers and the production staff and the designers want to give the actors every tool possible to be in the moment to perform. And it's putting the measles on John Gray, you know, so David goes, okay, this is how I should feel. You know, this is, so he can portray that. And you know, the setting or warming the set, the exact, you know, so it would be too warm or it would be, you know, and you guys had the benefit of it being winter.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was cold outside. So it was a warm set, you know.
Yeah.
But it was cold outside.
It was freezing outside. Yeah. And the other thing that, you know, Nick, the AD, really did by design was making sure that we were shooting these scenes in a linear fashion so the actors and all of the wardrobe and makeup could sort of progress and they could naturally go with their emotions, which
and that
often
goes,
you don't get that
For the breakdown, much of our show is shot totally out of order. But there are some episodes, there are some, you know, full story arcs.
Sorry, this is my favorite moment with she says I was born that way, and then every performance, David Barry had this intensity at the end, and I love this shot too. I just think
so was I.
So
and when
was
he says
I.
"so was I," you know, I think the pain on his face there. It, you know, it's funny. The last season we did a profile shot when Jamie walks away, and David's so great is that even in a profile shot, you get all the pain.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So.
This was an interesting day. So on the day that we shot this, we arrived to shoot and it snowed all night. And so it wouldn't match. So we had to let the snow melt. And then as soon as it melted, we started to shoot and it started to rain.
Yeah.
And so we were shooting
This was the day of days, right?
Yeah,
this
four
was
seasons the, in
yeah,
one
four
day.
Four seasons in 1 hour you had.
Pretty much. We went from snow to rain and then the sun came out. And then out of nowhere, lightning and a hailstorm.
Yes.
Within a matter of minutes,
we were filming a second unit day on, I think it's Cemex on the same day, and we were going through something similar, thinking about you guys.
Oh my God.
You know, because we were more controlled.
Yeah.
So
I can't tell you how many crew members came up to me and said, "Welcome to Scotland, four seasons in a day."
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "Okay, I get it."
Yeah. You know, but there are people from around the United States, you know, they say that in North Carolina, they say that in Montana, they say that in Oregon, in Washington. We do not say that in California.
We don't.
We say, it's 80 degrees today.
Yeah, have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
Don't forget your sunblock.
Yes.
There was a lot of demonstrating of how this might happen in the writer's room.
Yeah. Oh, wrong, by the way.
Yeah, of course, of course.
I think we've always wanted to do this.
The
tickling the trout scene.
Yeah, this came from a previous book, and we added it to this moment because it just really...
As our loyal book fans know, we do try to... When one of their favorite scenes... from, say, Dragonfly or Outlander or Voyager, you know, isn't filmed in the moment when it's supposed to happen, they can rest assured that we are probably, you know, well, hopefully they think this, that they might see it, you know? There's a chance they might see it. It might not, it certainly wasn't where they thought it would be, but we try to get them in, you know, because we have the thing that we work with is called time, and we just don't have a lot of it. So in that sense, if we can, we keep them on what we call our storyboards, and we have these scenes, and sometimes writers will go, "Hey, you know, I can use this scene here," and it works perfectly. So
that was one of those scenes. I think Tony had, she wrote it in a previous script, and then it got out, and then we were like, "Oh, wait, Tony."
It's probably been in five different scripts.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just keeps getting kind of kicked down. Because you really want it to, you know, it's such a great scene. You know, there's a lot of those in the books where you go, "Oh, I love this moment." And then so you have to kind of try to find the moment it works.
Yeah.
This
was interesting. I remember Matt, in a meeting, we were talking about what size of rifle and if Oliver would be able to handle a rifle. And I just thought, you know, he's probably going to be able to handle anything. And Matt just said, "Really, Shayna?" And he picked up one of the rifles we were in the artillery and he said, "Here, try to just hold this for me. Now pull the trigger." And these are old guns. They're not easy to...
They're heavy.
...work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's one thing about holding it. There's another thing by aiming it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's... And you weren't the first that went through that demonstration, trust me. And you probably won't be the last. I like the snow. I like the authenticity of the scene. You know, feels like winter, but it also feels like, or not winter, but more like early fall.
Yeah.
But or late fall. Sorry. But the length we go to in production, and once again, these are one of those moments where you have endless conversations about what this is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons why we chose this location, which we see a few different times, but is that water in the background. Allie and Denise on the day just got, during the scout, got so excited about how they could light that with the moonlight. And
oh, I'm sure they did. And then I'm sure Brian, our sound... anytime there's moving water next to people talking is not a good thing. So where one thing may look beautiful, the sound will be ruined. So I'm sure during the tech scout, he was probably having heart palpitations of, well, why would you pick a waterfall?
It's interesting you bring that up too, because on the scout, that water was a lot lower.
Yeah.
And then on the day of, it had been raining and storming, and next thing you know, it was definitely more of a sound issue. So they had to handle that for sure.
Yeah, this is kind of those things, the things you have to think about.
Yeah.
You know,
this was, I think, the scene we were all very interested to see sort of how Oliver was going to deliver this and on the night.
Yeah.
It was interesting. You could tell that they were informing each other's performance in a beautiful way, and they were both very supportive of each other. I think Sam was really impressed and moved by Oliver's dedication in this moment.
You know, I remember at the read-through, when Oliver did his reading, we were, you know, obviously we see casting, we watch his tapes, and we all agreed on, we picked him, but... you know, when he came through the read-through, knew every line, mm-hmm. had studied his script, was so great. We were like, all right, we did, this was a good choice.
Yeah.
You know, and he worked at his craft, and you know, once again, this is one of those scenes we discussed multiple times in the room and then from the page. Yeah. And you worry, mm-hmm. you know, because you put a lot of weight on such a young actor. And I think it helps that you have Sam Heughan to play off of.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that Sam really gives him so much that it helps the other actor. So, and plus it's nighttime scenes too. It's even worse.
It was freezing cold that night.
Yeah. You can see, look at the, you know, their breath and, I know you guys shot this in January or February.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I can't remember the exact date, but I know it was in one. That's when the block filmed, so had to be cold.
We were walking on icy mud.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys did it. You guys spent all night in freezing cold temperature, then you went into the stages with these scenes. And it gets, where you guys are, you know, sitting just outside the stage is freezing. But when you go into the set, it's really hot. So you have to, you know, calibrating the clothing on Outlander is just crazy. I'm just saying.
I've never worn so many layers of clothes. I had a routine to come home, just unlayer. And the crew just, they seem to have it as a second nature to sort of handle any sort of weather. They've got the right outfit.
I think it's one of the only jobs I've ever had where when somebody, when you have a drink, you know, your, you know, water or whatever, tea or coffee or whatever you're drinking, you have to think about, okay, if I have this.
Oh, this shot. I'm sorry. This is one of those shots that I just love. It's one of my favorites where they just really opened up the room. And it's an angle we really haven't seen on that bed, but it was
sort of expressing the overhead. Allie went overhead, Allie and Denise.
Yeah.
Allie Walker is our director of photography, what we call our DP, and Denise DeNovi directed this episode. And over the course of prep, they would, you know, spend a lot of time together planning shots, and sometimes they go out completely the way you planned it, and sometimes they don't, and you have to readjust in the moment. So best laid plans.
I also think at shooting the scene that there was a blizzard coming in, and they were predicting that all the freeways and everything would be closed. And so it's one of those difficult moments where you're shooting such a important scene like this, where everything has worked up to this moment for him to get there emotionally, and the actors are fully committed in the moment. And then you've got a snowstorm coming in outside, right, and you've got a crew going, wait, are we all going to be snowed in here for the entire night, or are we going to call it? And we eventually did end up having to call it that day.
We called a few days during the block because of massive snowstorms. This was one of those. We got lucky the first few years where we never got snowed in. We never had a lot of snow. And this year, this season, we had just a ton, and kind of had to work around it. This was also, we built up the measles, built up the fever, built up the red. You have to work within lighting to make sure it shows. That's always difficult. You know, we knew, you know, also in the writing room, we mm-hmm. talked about these scenes. You know, you always, when you, in the book, you get people's thoughts, you know, what they're thinking, and the scenes can be very dynamic when you're reading what someone thinks. But when you're not, and you have to show it, and you can't play it, you can't film a thought. I always say you can't film a thought. And, you know, to make them really dynamic, it's the acting. You know, you got to bring out, the writing has to be able to be so dynamic that the actors can bring it to the screen. And I think, you know, these scenes with both Katrina and David are amazing. You know, they really, they brought their A game to this episode. So
yeah, I think they enjoyed sort of playing around with the takes and sort of finding the sweet spot.
They're finding a rhythm. Yeah. You know, sometimes you know the worst thing is when you see the rehearsal and it's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And then your first take is nothing like the rehearsal, and you go, "No, we should have filmed the rehearsal." And that happens. It happens every now and then. And then the progression of trying to get back to that place.
Yeah.
This is one of the only scenes we... Sorry, I got interested in the scene. I forgot what I was going to say.
I was curious which way you're going to go with that one.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but even the muskets, which I like, I talked to Jim Elliott, our armorer, who handles all the weapons on the show, is if you notice a couple of the weapons, one's a little bit red and one's a little bit blue. And when I was in the museum in North Carolina, the Cherokee Museum in North Carolina, they had colored, you know, muskets, and I asked the question, and that's what the British traded with them. So yeah. I asked Jim if he could do it to be that much more authentic than than, you know, what you've normally see portrayed, and
that was something these actors, the Cherokee actors, really responded to too. They loved the attention to detail that was put into that.
Yeah, this is the one thing where, you know, we tried to use either First Nation or American Indians in every well, we did. Every role is either First Nation or American Indian in the season, and it was very important to us. I think it really shows, you know, everything, it really pays off.
Oh, it's such a moment.
Yeah.
No, Willie. It was a fun day in the room when the scene first came up, and we were all sort of shooting around ideas, and sort of the blood of my blood moment really.
Yes. Once again, here comes the title.
Came in, yeah.
Yes. I always like when there's a payoff from the title.
Yeah.
You know, because you read it, you see it on this, you know, your DVRs or your guides or wherever you're seeing it, and you know, there should be a payoff from it. And I think this is one of those that really did.
And this hug, as you know, in the time was not something that could happen very often. So it was such a wonderful thing to be able to earn a moment where Jaime could have that moment.
With yeah, as him. As a Earl, you know, letting yeah. just a guy, you know, his groom hug him mm-hmm. would not be acceptable. And that's why it's so important. And I, you know, I'm one of those people that don't like our characters to hug in public. I don't mm-hmm. like other characters to hug in when I mean in public, I mean in public spaces in the scenes, because when Jaime and Claire do it, it should be special, and that moment makes that much more special when the I can't remember what he is, the ninth Earl of Ellesmere, whatever yeah. Ransom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is, Lord William Ransom.
Yes.
The ninth Earl of Ellesmere.
Would not let the groom hug him. And when he does, that's what makes it such a special moment. That's what yeah. makes it so powerful.
And, you know, Jaime just is, you know, aching for something like exactly. that, for this connection with his son.
Exactly. And then that the boy actually, you know, gives himself over, you know, and there's obviously some kind of connection, blood connection,
mm-hmm.
you know, blood of my blood connection. So... Sorry, we're watching. That's what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
We're watching the scene. Every now and then that happens. We end up right along with you, getting drawn in.
I love that. I feel like it's so hard for Claire, I think, in this time to have someone she can confide in and discuss things with. And this is a very rare opportunity where she's sort of able to communicate in a place where you never would expect it.
Yeah.
There's an empathy there that is one of the things I love about her.
I think for me in this is she's giving him a little bit back.
Yeah.
You know, she knows she has the thing he wants. She knows that he would give anything to be with Jaime. So she's giving him a little gift here. And that's what I really like about the scene. You know, even though there's a little bit of, you know, like I said, that magnet, that yeah. flipped over magnet. And, but what keeps them coming back is that they both love Jaime so much and they want the best for Jaime. And she knows, I think Claire knows deep in her heart that John Gray is good for Jaime in some way.
Yeah, they have so much in common. I mean, even in that 20 years she wasn't with Jaime, she knows exactly how John Gray is yeah. feeling and what that feels like. And so in the fact that they're on the same side of the magnet.
Yes.
They don't connect, but yet they understand
right. each other. Traveling shots. They're my favorite.
But Scotland's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, North Carolina.
North Carolina is beautiful.
This was an interesting thing. There was a lot of debate on if they should be on different horses. And then their second horse is carrying the deer.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting thing. I didn't realize that putting the deer over the horse was a real thing, because a horse doesn't want to have an animal on it.
Right.
And so that proved to be a little bit tricky. But this was one of those moments where you figure it out in the moment. Of course, they need to be sitting together. But I just love, once again, that moment for them to be close. That's organic.
Yeah.
But it allows... And they're both facing forward, so it's not this moment that's too intense where they would be staring at each other. But you sort of see...
Yeah,
you see father son there.
Yeah, you get a great, you know, moment of connection out of necessity, but mm-hmm. it's really, you know.
And they're coming up. I think it was, one is Denise Drive and the other one's Alleyway
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Alley Avenue.
There's two, for those of you who haven't connected, there's a couple paths that come into Fraser's Ridge, and our director of photography and director decided to name them after themselves, I guess.
Well, they each had a preference.
Oh, right.
So it became one of those things where, like, I want to shoot this way. Are you sure the light's better this way? And it's like, okay, we're not doing Alley Avenue. We're going to do Denise Drive right now.
Right.
But that's so perfect. It became a fun way for us all to really know which way
and
we're shooting.
I think they're still named that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, must have been raining that day, huh?
It
a
was,
lot of wet hair.
It was definitely raining that day.
Yeah, don't get me started. I think we were trying to figure out a great prescription drug.
Right.
Carrots and livers and whatever. Is that what would Claire, you know... well, actually, I don't even know. I don't even know if we did that or it was from the book. I can't remember, but...
it was a combination. We definitely talked about, well, would she be giving him vitamins? We didn't want... After what they've been through, of course, she would be giving him something.
Yeah.
Also, some medical advice, because obviously he's been very sick. But, you know, she's from 68, and so even then vitamins weren't really talked about.
Right, so she has to talk about, what can I prescribe for you, in a sense... to make you feel better. So eat these things and they'll have all they'll have the drugs that you'll need to make you feel better.
Right.
I was doing air quotes there for those of you who didn't see.
Definite air quotes.
Yeah.
I don't know which was more sad, to see John Gray have to say goodbye or Jamie to say goodbye to Willie.
Yeah. We do a lot of goodbyes on Outlander.
Yeah. And this is a callback to that first goodbye.
Yeah, I think that...
That Hellwater episode.
I think people will recognize it, that we did the flip.
Yeah.
You know?
Or earlier when...
Those people, everybody, the audience that have seen all the way through will recognize this this moment. Except... The big difference.
Willie looks back.
Willie looks back, and Jamie takes that step like Willie did. You know, he kind of wanted to run after him.
And there's so much mystery in what's going on in Willie's head there. That.
Well, we discussed that multiple times.
Oh,
and it's like, what does he know?
What
does he hope?
What does he
think?
Feel? Yep. Yeah.
And I think that was why it was so important that he was riding with Jamie, you know, on the same horse right before this moment. And, you know, Denise and I talked about it as well. You got to see that connection. And you guys did a great job filming this this episode. The shots, you know, all the way through, just, you know, help tell the story. And that's what it's about when you bring it all together.
And Jamie giving a milk bath. I mean,
what more
can you ask for?
I know. It's already, you know, it's already Jamie Frazier's, like, you know, that guy. You're like, oh, man. Jamie Frazier. What are you going to do? He's always doing the right thing.
She nursed his friend, and now he's going to nurse her.
Yeah. It's all... I think, well, this moment was discussed multiple times. It moved around a little bit. It finally ended up in your script, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Because it, you know.
Sort of the first time that they are really alone.
Yeah.
In so many, I mean, very challenging episodes for them as a couple.
Yeah. Finally take a breath, really.
Yeah.
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 More importantly, this is the moment where we're trying to fix something, you know, where we're trying to get to, as the audience, well, most people have already watched the episode a few times and now they're joining us on the podcast. So, but yeah, we discussed this. We tried to find a place for it in the season of when it would be the most natural time for him to do it.
Right.
And then we had to kind of work it out. And it ended up, I know it bounced around scripts.
Right.
Like, did it fit here? Did it fit there?
It gets set up really well in 405, where Jamie's going to find the silversmith.
Yes.
And of course, it's sort of like, okay, now we can pull Murtaugh into the story and his craftsmanship.
Yeah. So then we finally get the ring. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to fit in this episode because it was such a you know, it wasn't so, you know, a downbeat, you know, it was, it's, mm-hmm. it's a moment that you feel like he would really do it.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those moments, you know, he has in his back pocket for one of those days.
Yes, yes, yes. Like he just didn't.
Yeah.
You know, this is one, another scene, you know, you have to be vulnerable as an actress, you know, you're in a bathtub, you know, for a day, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Definitely, and they work so well together.
The inscription.
And supporting that vulnerability and helping each other be in the moment and comfortable.
Yeah, it actually fits really. It's kind of a coda to the episode, and I think it fits really well. Because ultimately, what's Outlander about? Well, you're looking at it right there.
Yeah.
It's about our two, Jamie and Claire. So, mm-hmm. you know,
and
why not end on...
Throughout all of it, the crazy things can happen, but they always come back together. And
it is.
Work through it.
It is, you know, and I say this a lot in the writer's room is we're not that kind of, hey, are they going to stay together? Are they, is it, you know, I hope these two kids can make it. You know, it's like that. It's just like, our thing is like, how do they make it?
Yeah.
You know, all the people, all the things that get thrown at them and people who try to rip them apart. It's how do they make it? And I think these are the moments you need to say this is why it's important that they do make it. You know, without these moments in the show, then you don't have, you know, you miss the core of Outlander.
Right. It's this timeless love.
Yeah. Well, that was, I really enjoyed that episode. I thought it was, you know, come straight and kind of in the middle and I really did like it. You did a wonderful job on the script and, I think the performances were amazing. So you did a wonderful job, shepherding this through with Denise Sinovi arc. So until next week, thanks for joining us. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. This was fantastic. It was such a great experience.
Cool. Good night, everyone, and see you next week.
Good night.